Northern Ireland's troubled past has become a major tourist attraction in recent years. But a new political tour hosted by former Republican and Loyalist prisoners has been described as warped by relatives of Troubles victims, as reported in the Belfast Telegraph. The 18-pound tour, called Conflicting Stories, is described as a walk led by, quote, Republican and Loyalist ex-political prisoners, and says, "We invite you to walk the streets of the city on both sides of the peace line with the men and women who risked life and liberty and served time in prison for standing up for their beliefs." Now, is that language legitimising past violence and those who carried it out? Or is it simply underlying the fact that the Troubles had a political cause? The commentator, Malcolm Docherty, is with us today. Kenny Donaldson is from Innocent Victims United. Morning to you, Kenny.
Morning,
Steve. Morning, Malcolm, by the way. Good morning. And the former Republican prisoner and writer, Tim Brannigan. Morning, Tim.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Kenny, how do you feel about this?
Well, I suppose, Stephen, it is a well-known fact that tours have been operating in Belfast for many years, and it's known that obviously there were ex-prisoners involved in all of that. But we very much do have to say, and took a lot of phone calls over the weekend on this, folk who have been the innocent victims of terrorism from right across the spectrum do take exception to this particular language, because it's a further dilution of the impacts that terrorism had within the society. That very language, that men and women who risked life and liberty, they took life and liberty from others. They took others' basic human right, and to actually, you know, their human right to life. And to use that type of language is warped, and is very, very difficult for innocent victims to understand.
Well, this language is still on a poster. The team saw it in a shop in Great Victoria Street, in a window, on a poster, with this language of, with the men and women who risked life and liberty and served time in prison for standing up for their beliefs.
Why did they bring to their neighbour's door the carnage that was brought? Was there ever a right for anyone, irrespective of what perceived or real grievances they had against others, to actually bring devastation to their lives? I don't believe so. There were other ways out for people within the society. People talk about it being about equality and rights. In 1972, all requirements which were laid down by the civil rights movement at that stage were met. What happened thereafter was not about rights and equality. It was about the forced removal of, if you like, a British identity within Northern Ireland, and that we would move towards a United Ireland solution. And I say that not alone, Republican terrorism, Loyalist terrorism, and individual members of the forces that dishonoured the code and engaged in acts of criminality. There was no justification for any of it. But this type of project and language that is used, that is a miswrite of the past.
And Tim Brannigan, this is in this shop window among all of the tours for the Chant Causeway and Game of Thrones and all of that, all of those tourist attractions. And you've heard the impact it has on some of the victims, Tim.
Okay, I absolutely understand the impact on victims and how things would be very raw for them, and that they might see the death of loved ones as now becoming a commercialised entity, and that obviously on a very human level, if you live on the Shankill Road and you see Republicans profiting from tours or whatever, then that is going to quite possibly add insult to injury. My argument would be, speaking as an ex-Republican prisoner who has, on a casual level in the past, taken people around on tours and given my perspective, and I've even been on the Shankill, trying my best to be heavily disguised, but when I've tried to be honest about what the Loyalist point of view on things was as well. But at some point, I'm out of jail about 25 years or something. At some point, the ability to walk up the Falls Road or up the Shankill Road with a small bunch of tourists and explain to them what your experience was and what the experience of those communities was. You know, what on earth, given the money that's been squandered on the peace process, on Stormont, on MLA's expenses and everything else, what on earth is wrong with a small handful of the ex-prisoners who were involved from telling their story from their perspective and being honest about it. What's the problem 25 years later?
Tim? Sorry, Kenny?
Look, what I suppose I go back to on that one there, Stephen, very clearly is that this is almost being portrayed as, if you want to call it, it's like it's a formalised part of our society and structure now that to say that actually it was a narrative to go out and to murder your neighbour, that somehow that was a person's viewpoint and opinion and that was a legitimate course of action to then take. That's not the case. I'm not one of these people who believes that Tim and others cannot have a future within this society because they have had a terrorist past. I don't believe that. But what I very, very strongly believe, along with many, many others, is that we won't stand by and see a miswrite of what actually went on. What was done by neighbour upon neighbour in this society was totally and utterly unacceptable.
Well, and irrespective of grievances,
wasn't acceptable.
Kenny, that may well be true. But it was neighbours on both sides.
Yes, and I agree 100%.
And I mean, you know, they're not realistically. People aren't going to. People are going to hang on to their corner, whether it's here or Israel Palestine. People have got their point of view, and
have we not though got a responsibility, maybe a broader responsibility? Oh, sorry.
Let me bring in Malachy O'Doherty this, if you don't mind. You can go back with another point in a moment or two.
I find myself agreeing with some of what both of them are saying. Kenny is right. These tours are largely propagandist. Now, to say that people give up their liberty and their freedom, you know, for Ireland or for Ulster or whatever, you know, nobody apart from those who were interned in the early days, you could argue, was arrested or imprisoned for their ideas or for their politics. People committed crimes, but we are, and they were.
I was arrested for my politics.
Well, you were arrested because there were arms found in your house.
No. I was arrested more than once. I was arrested by the cops and the Brits after being chased on a 10-gear racing bike.
They accused me of going to steal cars. Republican, you had a prison sentence for being in possession of weapons. I mean, what I'm saying, I'm not. You know, you and I, Tim, get on great, and I'm not getting into your Barney with you on the air.
I understand.
But the reality is that these there are versions of the past which are propagandistic and superficial and self-justifying, and they are galling to people like Kenny. They're galling to me. I'm sure there are versions of the past which are galling to you as well. But
yeah,
we are in a free
I see it every puppy day, you know. But
we are in a free market of ideas, is my point. And in a sense, there's
absolutely
nothing that can be done about the propaganda of these tours other than what Kenny is currently doing, which is the counter-reversion of events, and he's doing it well enough. And I think, in a sense, you know, that is where we are, and that's what we're stuck with. There isn't anything in that material which you wouldn't find any week on Gerry Adams' blog, for instance, you know, kind of sentimentalising the past. You know, the great sacrifices we made, the awful evil British, you know, and how we all served time in prison because we were noble, decent people standing up for our freedom. When in fact, a lot of the people who went to prison went out and they murdered Catholics in back alleys. They blew up shopping centres. They shot policemen. They shot civilians.
Are you talking about special branch there, Malachy?
Well, most of the killing was done by the Provisional IRA. I think you know that, don't you?
But I think as well, you know, you look at Scapatiti, who was giving the order there, the IRA or the MI5?
Wilson has contacted us.
This, you know, just to get into the whataboutery, you know, I expect that from Danny Morrison, this thing of...
Well, now, Danny Morrison isn't here to defend himself. Jim Wilson has contacted us. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen. It's not often I agree with Mulligan, like, you know, and things, so...
Jim, you agree with me more
I'll start off this. No, Stephen, my problem with it is a narrative. I met with a group of Americans last week, and one of them asked me a question, a very pertinent question. I thought they were troubles. And he asked me the question, and he said to me that when they'd met a group of Republicans, the Republicans said they had no option but to go to war and do what they'd done. And then I countered it by saying, well, you're telling me the Catholic population in this country were hard done by, and I agree with that 100%. But was the black people in America not hard done by the white Americans? Did the black people go to war, bomb, murder, and assassinate their people? And what happened in this country? No, they didn't. It happened through evolution of time. And it happened through the way, when I said this before, whenever societies move on and people realise this is wrong and that's wrong, go back 20 years about gay rights and all the rest of it, a lot of the things that gay rights, people getting ideas, no chance of getting years ago. So people and society moves on.
Your fellow loyalists would be involved in some of these tours, Jim. Do you support them? And do you think?
I know that, but the narrative is not easy for loyalism as a reactionary group to what Republicans were doing to our community. And it's as simple as that. The narrative from loyalism is very, very hard to change, in the sense that other than we were fighting for the stay British, we were fighting for our democracy and all that stuff. What I'm saying to you
is the language accurate or helpful? The men and women who risked life and liberty and served time in prison for standing up for their beliefs.
Yeah, well, yeah, Stephen, that's the point I'm making to you. We all have different narratives. But the propaganda narrative sometimes that Republicans are espousing to the people around the world isn't true. You know, there was another way. There was another a system of doing.
But we don't know who wrote the poster, do we? Maliki?
I'm saying that there's some people in the loyalist community. I was working last week with Beano Niblock, for instance.
He's just walked into my office there, Beano Niblock, because he's a personal friend of mine.
But I mean, Beano did horrific things in the past, and he was involved in loyalist paramilitaries. But he has made an effort as a writer to say, you know, that to discourage young people from getting involved and from continuing the past on. That's the kind of work that former paramilitaries should be doing.
Yeah, well,
let's bring Tim in. Hold on, Tim.
To get back to the issue, I guess, Stephen, that the. What we've got and what this conversation shows and what your show shows every day is that all of these issues are multi-dimensional, and one man or woman's truth is going to be another person's propaganda. The giving up life and liberty, I gave up some of the best years of my life. Whether I would refer to it as life and liberty, I don't know, but if you're putting out a commercial pamphlet or whatever, you might do that. But certainly I feel that I made sacrifices, and that for the rest of my life I will have, despite the Good Friday Agreement, which is held up as an article of faith by Republicans, I will always be a criminal. I will always have a record. I may not get into America ever again. So I continue to pay a price. So if I want to walk around my area and tell people from Holland or wherever, this is what I saw, this is what I did, then I'm going to do it, and I don't really need the British state or whoever else to okay it, you know, or even the ex-prisoner groups.
Well, time this morning, but Tim, thank you very much indeed, and to Kenny and to Maliki, Jim Wilson, thank you.